Dan, say hello to Maurice Jones-Drew while you're at it.
Oh, Mojo is in the house. That's good. Is he on Twitter today?
I don't know. Are you on Twitter?
I'll be on the Jags Twitter. Yeah. My Twitter got hacked, so which is crazy. I don't know why they hacked mine. Yeah, they shut it down, so I'm trying to get it back up, but I've been off Twitter for about a week or two.
Is that right?
It means you made it, Mo.
No.
If people are hacking the Twitter, it means you got something worth hacking.
There's no reason to. I don't know. All I do is talk.
Are you
going
to be able to get all those 300,000 people back is what I want to know.
You know, we were pushing up there, man.
You were doing well.
Trying to get to that mill, but we'll see how it goes. This might be worth it. I might be like, I was hacked for a couple weeks.
There you go. All right, Hick, we got MJD on the scene.
You guys have fun.
We'll see you.
All right, enjoy
the
day.
We'll see you out of here. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Just got off a plane and landed in something that's hot and steamy.
It's a little more humid than it is out on the West Coast these days, isn't it?
I left 75.
Is that what it was?
I was in L.A. It was 75 degrees. It was.
Man, I don't know what it was. I was in New York yesterday. It was steamy in New York for the last couple of days. I was up there for the Fantasy Sports Trade Association. They all wondered, where's Maurice?
I had a Madden obligation.
They all wanted to see you. Lisa Ann was there. They all wanted to see you, man.
Well, I'll see you. I mean, are you going to Tahoe this year?
I'm not going to Tahoe unless you're taking me. Unless you're paying for me.
We'll see if I can.
That one's not in the budget for me.
It's not in the budget?
No.
We'll see. Well, I mean, it's a drive for me, so it doesn't matter.
That's in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I'm coming out kind of your way, going out to the desert, do the whole Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, all that.
It's going
to
be hot.
It's going to be hot there, too. I talked to a guy out in Phoenix on Saturday. He said, yeah, it should be up to about 115 on Thursday. So you got that. But it's a dry heat, so they say it's no big deal.
You can hide from it. You can't hide from this.
Is that right?
You know what? That's one thing I did forget about. I forgot it gets hot like this.
So,
you look like you miss it, Mo.
Yeah, you really. You look. You're bringing. So, how many water bottles have you had today?
I just got off a plane.
I'm telling you, man.
I had to fly last night and flew in.
Black shirt.
Yeah.
May not have been the wisest choice.
I didn't want to sweat through the white one. If I sweat through the white one, it doesn't look hot.
That's a good point. So, what? You just out here taking in minicamp?
No. We were doing a back to camp special.
Okay.
So, it's good to come back. They're sending me out here, sending guys all over. I think Ike Taylor's going to Pittsburgh. I just saw Mike Robb. He went to Seattle a couple weeks ago. So we're kind of doing a thing. Well, you know, talk to the players, interview the players, talk to Coach Bradley.
What words of wisdom do you have for Mr. Miles Jack, your UCLA brethren?
Just do you. That's all I can tell.
Yeah.
Don't think. Just do you. Because he's a tremendous player. I mean, I was on the hype train with him. I still feel like he's probably the best. He was the best player in the draft, just film wise. And you know what? I from what I heard, he's doing well out here. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, you get him. We know Ramsey's not out here for minicamp. You know, he's just doing some side stuff and everything, but he should be fine. And Dante Fowler got through OTAs every practice unscathed. Man, that's a lot of young talent to go with the free agent class that they signed.
Well, I think, you know, the free agent class was awesome. And I think when you look at the way the defense is built, they're built to play fast. And that's what kind of Coach Bradley's always wanted. And, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm glad that he's got his defense. They kind of went offense early in his tenure. Usually when you have a head coach that's a defensive guy, they go defense early. Right? You talk about Jack Del Rio and some of his draft picks early on. They were defensive. And then you want to go, you know, then you kind of tailor it to the offense. Well, we did it the other way. And I think Coach Bradley's done a great job of hanging in there. And so this year, obviously, there's high expectation and hopes. But I'm just excited to see the guys they have out here playing, man. I just can't wait. I haven't seen football in a while.
Let's talk about your boys, the running back position, T.J. Yeldon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, coming into his second year, they bring in Chris Ivory as kind of that other guy with that two-back system here in Jacksonville. How'd you feel about Yeldon's rookie year and about the acquisition of Ivory for this offense?
Well, I thought Yeldon did well as a rookie. You know, he's coming from a system that the running backs usually don't pan out well in the first couple of years in the NFL. I thought he did a great job. They use him in the passing game a little bit. I know they want to get him more involved in the passing game. And I know they want to get him in space more. You know, that's where he excels, when he's in space and he can get a guy one-on-one. Then you bring in Chris Ivory, a guy who can run through guys and break tackles, a guy that you need to get those, you know, tough 3-4 yards. And we saw what he did in New York. I expect him to run the ball more. I expect that to help the offensive line, to help your passing game as well. I know it's hard to help your passing game if you're Mike Dempsey, because we've gotten to – Greg Jones, what's up, baby? Man, we got to talk. Let me do this, man. I got to come. Congratulations, man. I didn't get a chance to tell you that, man. That's my guy, man.
He was sneaking up on you there for a second.
But no, yeah, to help that passing game out where you don't have to throw the ball as much and kind of control the game a little bit more.
The numbers should come down for Blake this year. He could be a better quarterback, and the numbers, the yardage may be around the same. The touchdowns may come down because you got a more effective running game in the red zone, right? You hopefully have more leads in the second half where you're trying to run the clock out a little bit.
I think the way he gets better is by you know, obviously limiting the turnovers. You know, limiting the turnovers and the sacks, and I think that's where he gets better, not holding on to the ball, not throwing the ball into coverage. And if he can do that with that running game, it's going to make that defense much better. They should get the ball back. They got ball hawks on defense, and that's what you've always wanted here in Jacksonville.
See this sound guy following you around over here?
Yeah.
He's my my son's best friend's dad.
Wow.
We hang. We hang, baby.
Well, That's my guy right there.
I talk best in the biz right
you.
Here, my man.
I got to make sure I don't say any bad things.
You can. It's okay. It always gets back to me anyway.
All right, the most important question, Mo.
Yes.
All right, because I know you grew up in the Bay Area. You were a Raiders fan growing up.
Yes.
The Jaguars and the Raiders kind of two of the hot teams this offseason as far as picks for all the experts to kind of make that leap. So which side are you on?
Oh,
is it the Raiders or is it the Jags?
I'm on the Jags. And the Raiders know that. There's no disrespect to them, but you got to go where, you know, I was raised in the game of football here, so that's kind of where I'll be heading. And it'll be a tough game. I'm going to have a jersey made where it's half and half, so it'll be all right.
That's not bad. They can meet in the AFC Championship game.
I would love
that.
That'll
be fine. We'd love to have them here.
Yeah, no problem.
We'd love to see how they look
big screens. I'd rather you guys go there just so I can go to it.
Less of a trip. You shouldn't worry about the temperature in January anyway. It'll be fine.
No, the temperature in January here is still going to be hotter than anywhere else.
It's good to see you. We're coming back with season 7 of Running with MJD. Yes, can you believe it's been 7 years we've done this now?
Man.
On Sirius XM?
This is where it all started, right here with you.
It did. It started out as Sneakers
year
at the
eight. It's year 8 for
it
us.
It is year 8. That's right. We've kind of passed through year 7 and kind of closed the door on that. So on we go.
Well, I'm talking about we did 1010 XL, too. So
that's right. Between the two of us, your second year, we did the 1010 XL Maurice Jones-Drew show.
I still got the T-shirt to prove it. Somewhere.
My wife reps it all the time, man. She's always wearing those T-shirts. I live on free clothing. Trust me. Free radio station gear. All right.
You think I try to, if it's free, it's me.
Listen, final thought. I saw you did your own top 100 rankings, right, this summer. You had Blake Bortles in the top 100,
yeah,
right? We've debated this. I'm like,
we have our debate.
That's fine. I understand your position. He's got a lot to prove in terms of winning, but is that the thing you're looking for this year, showing more evidence that he knows how to close games, or what is it you're looking for from Blake?
More than anything, I'm just looking for him not to turn the ball over. I feel like, you know, the defense didn't do as well, but it doesn't help when you turn the ball over. So when you have those issues on defense, you can't keep putting them back on the field or let people score on offense when you're on offense. So it puts you in a hole, per se. So I'd rather him just be more not passive aggressive. Like, don't take so many shots down the field. Don't try to squeeze it in so much. Make sure you're protecting the ball a little bit more. I know that's what Gus preaches. And it's so funny. The teams that protect the ball, they usually go to the playoffs. And the teams that protect the ball usually win majority of the time, regardless if the defense is good or not. So if you can protect the football and keep the offense in the right position by checks and doing things like that, and after talking with Ole over the last couple of weeks, he's putting more on his plate to be able to check at the line of scrimmage and put them in the best position. If he can do that, I think then the offense, obviously the offense has the weapons, but the defense will come along with it.
Yeah, look, no excuses. They got the talent, it looks like, right, on paper. They have the talent.
Yeah, I mean, you're still relying on young talent. I think a lot of people are excited about that, but I try to be real. I mean, we always talk about this, you know, even though I'm on the West Coast and he's here, I'm a realist. And it's always tough to rely on young talent because at some point in time, they're going to hit a wall. And so you have to have that realization in there that it might be some bumps and bruises along this road, but it'll end up being a good one in the long run.
Hey, I had the FSDA summer draft on Monday night. I took you in the first round just in your
Why?
Honor.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Why?
You kidding me?
Why? I'm not playing.
I didn't. But that was always your move, right?
When I was playing.
I understand.
Not anymore.
You've given up on that?
I told you I'm a realist. When it was over, it's over. Now it's time for me to draft other people like Antonio Brown and PPR leagues.
Oh, heck yeah.
And guys like that. And, you know, Blake Bortles is going to get drafted this year,
right
I
on.
Think. I think Allen Robinson is going to get drafted. I think hopefully Julius Thomas gets back on. He doesn't have to miss, an early part of the season. He can play a whole season. He'll be on there. So it'll be a fun thing to have a lot of Jags out there now, right?
No doubt. Let's hope. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
All right, Mike, Maurice Jones-Drew, the legend, Mojo, running with MJD. Catch him. Season 7 coming up on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio this fall with yours truly. There he goes out to make the rounds with the coaching staff. And as you saw Greg Jones' reaction, you're going to see a lot of folks out there today if you're out here at minicamp welcoming Maurice Jones-Drew back to Jacksonville. With that, Tony, I know it's a little bit later than we usually do, but let's kick it off. Jaguars Today starts right now.
Tight ends left and right. Brunell with two receivers. First and 10 at the 30 of the Bills. There's the snap, the handoff. Natron wants to cut it up. Waits patiently. Breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Natron 25, 20. He's gone. He's at the 10. The 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Holy smokes. Talk about putting it in your face. My goodness.
Archuleta coming again. Byron turns and dumps the ball. He's gone on the run. There goes Maurice Drew. He's got a first down and Maurice at the 20. He's at the 15. 10, 5, touchdown. Maurice Drew, touchdown, Jaguars, 49 yards.
He said he was going to have a dance the next time he scored.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, here we go. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, last day of open to the public minicamp, Tony, for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
We've got Ryan O'Halloran set to join us after our first break coming up in minutes. Voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, is going to stop by today. We'll hear from Miles Jack. Robert Sala is coach, his position coach, with the linebackers, Gus Bradley. And then live at the end of the program, we're expected to have Miles Jack join us here under the tent, and he will be happy to get some shade, I have a feeling, coming
off
the field.
And we'll talk to Rhino about this here in just a moment, but he ran with a second-team Mike linebacker yesterday for this team. I heard during the individuals just a few moments ago he was running more at auto with Puz and Telvin for whatever that's worth, but we'll talk to Miles Jack after practice today, too.
Yeah, a little versatility. We'll find out what his head is doing. Is it swimming a little bit right now? I know he said yesterday getting acclimated to the heat is no joke. It's as Maurice even said, you leave for a year or so and you forget exactly what it's like when you come back. So he's struggling through Maurice's his first 5 minutes of Jaguar mini camp today. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Question of the day, Tony, basically, who caught your eye if you're out here among the 3,000 plus at mini camp yesterday, or you just watched some of the practice highlights and such at Jaguars.com, some of the outstanding reporting by guys like Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, maybe the way you took in mini camp. What stood out to you? Which players jumped out as getting a little early praise? This is the last time we're going to see them on the field. They'll be practicing tomorrow, but it's closed to the public. Therefore, the media will not be out here.
Training camp.
As well. Training camp rolls around, right? It's going to be, another 6 weeks or so till we see these guys in full. So in the meantime, let's get them through unscathed for the next couple of days and send them off into the summer. We'll take a timeout right now. Glad Maurice Jones-Drew could stop by to start things off today on Jaguars Today. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union straight ahead on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, we're live at Jaguar Minicamp on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Tuesday morning, hot day, but a lot of people coming out here to support the team.
Hey, unbelievable. I mean, you know, so many people talk about the heat with the players, but how about the fans that come out here? And our players are fired up. We told them there's over, 3,000 signed up or whatever it was, and 2,500 were going to be here. And I knew we were going to have a good practice just because the players were amped up to be around the fans again. So appreciative of all the fans that make the effort.
Compare the Florida heat to the California heat.
Oh, no, it's not even it's no comparison. This is something different. This is something different. So, yeah, Cali's hot, but this humidity is something else.
That is our roving reporter Hacker right there.
Withered Hacker.
Yes, he's getting a scoop on the heat.
He found the angle he likes.
He found the angle he's got. He's writing a story on the heat, I think. check out 1010XL.com for the latest column. We've got Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Hey, O'Halloran, is it hot out there?
It is downright pleasant compared to yesterday.
It really is, right? I mean, from everything Tony told me, I wasn't here, but the breeze is quite nice this morning, huh?
There wasn't anything yesterday.
Jaguars. The Jaguars are the only thing hot out here today, boy.
Yeah, you know it's a miserable day when you have players coming up to you saying, A, did you get enough water? And B, it was hot out there. And so I think it affected practice a little bit because I'm sure guys were just worn out by the second hour.
But everybody seemed to make it through okay.
Yep. I mean, no new injuries today. Looks like everybody that didn't practice yesterday is still not practicing today.
So your first impressions of Miles Jack are what?
Like Hacker said, the weather got the best of him. And, you know, I was watching him during some stuff and somebody came up to me from the Jaguars and goes, well, he looks lost, which is what he should look.
Right.
So they're just, you know, I think it's a good decision. They've weaned him in a little bit. When you said the previous segment, it was him, Telvin, and Paz working on a side field, mostly just taking steps as the three linebackers. So, you know, what's going to be key for him is making it through the next 2 days and then watching himself on tape. over the break to try and speed things up.
Look like the athlete you expected, though?
Yeah, I mean, you look at him and you say, how is this guy covering tight ends and receivers?
Right.
He's not – the size of him should not be conducive to that, but – you know, you didn't see a lot of him athletic-wise in the 7-on-7. They just had him staying put. But maybe today you'll see a little bit more.
And it feels like the right decision to me. If you're going to bring him in, kind of start him at that Mike position, for a guy that you don't really know where you want to play him on the defense yet, let him learn the defense from that spot, and I think everything else will be a little bit easier for him from there.
Yeah, and because their philosophy is probably right, is if you learn the mic, it makes learning the other spots easier because you've said the calls, so you maybe know you're more in tune to what all three linebacker spots. That's going to be a fascinating subplot, not only of the preseason, but week one is Miles Jack is going to be on the field, just a matter of who he's out there with.
Right, and third down is where that becomes an issue too, because at some point in the season, if they want to get Puzlesny off the field, they have to have somebody on the field who knows the defense, who can call the defense, and it feels like Miles Jack should be that guy, but he has to learn it before he can do that.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to get a lot of practice reps at middle linebacker in the training camp practices. What we'll have to see is, okay, how is the knee holding up? That's the other issue, and make sure he doesn't do too much too soon.
What's the returns on guys like Malik Jackson and Tashawn Gibson, not just from yesterday, but over the course of OTAs, talking with the coaching staff, Ryan, from what you've gathered, are they happy with what they've gotten what they expected, a little bit more than they expected in these guys?
Jackson, they like how he came in decent shape. This will put you in shape. So they feel like his leadership, they've been impressed by that. Gibson has been the talk of the camp inside the building. You have coaches and players saying, did you see that? Oh, my God, how good is he? So, you know, when they signed him, we said on this air, okay, he's probably going to be the linchpin of this free agent class to improve that defense. And, you know, Gus has singled him out several times in his briefings.
You know, guys, we talk about making the Pro Bowl, right, and how difficult it is when you're a Jaguar because you have this perception uphill to climb. You know, the team isn't very good. You're a small market. Now, Cleveland's a little bit bigger market. They have more history. But you make the Pro Bowl on the Browns at any time in recent history, you're really doing something that gets noticed and stands out, and he was able to do that.
Yeah, and how he's going to do that here besides winning some games is you create turnovers. That's if you have 4, 5, 6 interceptions come early December, you're going to get votes. So that's what they're expecting out of him is not only to cover the ground to allow them to play Cyprian and or Sample in the box, but also that he can play sideline to sideline and get some of those tip passes.
And it feels like it's been one of the stories of OTAs and now into minicamp is this defense as a whole closing the gap with the Jaguars offense and making it more difficult for what looked like a very talented offense last year with this Jaguars team to make plays at the gaps to go make those plays. The windows are getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday there were 2 interceptions, 2 batted passes, a couple other pass breakups, so they were around the ball a lot. The question is going to be, okay, they're going to be more aggressive with their play calling. That's a given. They, by all accounts, have better talent on the field. Can that combination allow them to make the jump that the offense made last year?
What does more aggressive with the play calling look like? Sending more blitzes because you trust the back end? Is that what we're talking about?
That's the tip of it. But also last year when the Jaguars did blitz, and they blitzed probably about 23-25% of the time, is you always sort of knew what was going to be. It was going to be Colvin from the slot. It was going to be Puzlesny up the middle in the A-gap. Whereas yesterday you saw some stunting. You saw Telvin blitz a couple times. So when you have a Miles Jack, when he gets up to full strength to cover, that allows you to do different things. When you feel confident in your corners, you can maybe send extra guys in the blitz.
Not really knowing until they get pads on what some of the answers are going to be. But at least talking to the coaches, something that we've heard in this defense since Gus Bradley got here basically is that, and it's been an issue for them, is that they don't like to blitz. It's not something that they've been comfortable with. Maybe they're working on it at this point in the offseason a little bit more than they have in years past. But how confident are they that when they need to, they can get pressure with their front four this year compared to years past?
I think they feel a lot more confident because they feel that Fowler and Ngakoue are upgrades. At the two end spots on third down, they feel Malik Jackson and a healthy Cedric Marks are better than what they had last year. But you're still relying on two ends who is a rookie and basically a rookie with Fowler. So what they're going to have to figure out is, okay, to create some matchups for Fowler early in the season and get him going. Do they need some blitzes off his side so he can get some one-on-ones and not be double-teamed right away?
It's a great sign that Dante was able to practice all throughout OTAs or in practice every time. Every time we talk to anybody about the pass rusher, what guys have been flashing, they bring up Ngakoue's name. So hopefully there's a little bit more talent there. I see some Derek Marks coming out here this morning. Where is he as far as, you know, the timetable? What do we know about when he's not going to have to worry about being held back at all?
Yeah, he started doing individual drills just on Friday. So he won't do any teamwork this week. And Gus said that at the start of OTAs, he wasn't going to do any of that until camp. You know, so, I mean, they say they're erring on the side of caution. You know, I think it's helped get his knee back up to speed as well. And you know, I think camp is going to be good for Senderic. I think he's going to be on this team. But what ideally the role they want him to play, is he up to that physically?
And the other guy that, look, we talked to Gus Bradley. He singled out Sheldon Day. We talked to Dante Fowler Jr. last week. He singled out Sheldon Day when we were just asking him who's standing out on the D-line right now. Talked to Telvin Smith yesterday, asked, is there anybody standing out? We haven't mentioned yet, and he said Sheldon Day. It feels like a lot of players are talking about that guy right now.
That's interesting because, you know, you don't really pay attention to interior guys when the pads aren't on. The compliment of Sheldon when he was drafted by this regime was that, hey, he has a great quick first step, which allows him to, you know, get an advantage, get under a guy's pads, get around him. So I think that's what they're seeing now. You know, if he puts the pads on and has an impact, you know, that this makes them deeper, and it forces them to make a tougher decision on what do you do with Michael Bennett.
What are you looking for, Ryan, over the rest of today, basically, because tomorrow we won't see everything that's going on, other than just staying healthy, which is always key at this time of year?
I think today you're looking a little more crispness. I said that right?
Crispness, yes. It's a weird one.
I want the offense to be more crisp.
Okay.
Chad Henne yesterday, 2 of 10. He had a couple drops. Brandon Allen needs to hold the snap when he's under center. So I think the defense threw a lot at the offense yesterday, more so than in a normal minicamp practice. So see how the offense responds today. And I thought Blake was pretty good yesterday. See if he can continue that.
You're sitting with Tony on Friday,
right,
on the show. What do you have coming up in the TU in terms of Jaguar coverage?
Well, Jalen Ramsey's scheduled to talk after practice today, so we'll have that. And then in Sunday's paper, I give my first projection of what the 53 is going to look like.
Nice!
So that's always a nice, topic to debate.
And then if you are very close, we'll bring it up. And if you are not, it'll be 6 weeks until they're back on the field. Nobody will remember.
If I'm not close, that'll bring it up too.
Well, that's true. Right. For different reasons, though. All right, Ryan O'Hallen, good to see you, brother.
All right, guys. Take care.
Go out there, by the way, and tell this 1010XL contingent to break it up, okay? They all stand there in one big click and chat with each other. Tell them, watch some practice, spread out, get some different stories, some different angles out
there.
Well,
what you don't see is you see the colored golf shirts, you stand them, they're always at midfield, and their back is to the field. So they need to start paying attention.
Who am I missing? Which group? Not the 10-10 guys. Well, at least they're facing the right direction.
D-Rock has his back to
the
field.
D-Rock's back to the field right now.
But when they get to conversing here, they'll.
You start to get that little circle.
The only guy who breaks out, the only guy who breaks off is Ballou. He's sort of, I like looking at the trenches.
That or nobody wants to spend any time with them. I don't know. It could be one or the other. It could be, it's quite possible. That's usually my excuse.
Well, if you tell them to move, you'll be able to see something.
You know, right. Just part a little bit in the middle. Maybe that's what I'm looking for, just a better view of the field. But, Ryan, good to see you, brother, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care. There he goes, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. We'll take a break here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor for all size plumbing jobs, whether it's in your home, business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it. If you can think of it and it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter can help you out. Same-day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment is the reason that Metro Rooter has served Jacksonville and the surrounding area so well since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com for more information or call 695-1911 if you've got a plumbing issue. 695-1911. Solve that issue with our friends Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Coming back with the voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Bring Steve Allout on this program?
I don't know.
Honestly,
goodness.
You guys are the best.
Are you trying
ever.
To say it's it feels like spring compared to yesterday?
Best host ever. You
it is still spring, isn't it? Isn't it technically spring?
It might be. You guys. Yesterday was not a spring day.
Nobody likes you, Frank. Stop it. Except Tyler. Tyler's a suck-up. Are you kidding me? Frank Frangie, voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars and host of the Frank Frangie
The Frangie Show?
Variety
I've
Show.
We dropped
we
the
lost
Frank.
My name, yeah.
The Frangie Show?
Frangie Show.
This is Frangie Show.
That's what I was told, yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah, it's easier.
after how many years in the market, yeah, they finally know your first
28
name?
28 years, they probably know.
Confusing yeah. you with that other Frangie.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, radio. You know, now that Bob Frangie's out of it,
hey!
We're good.
So, Robert, take left. A seat, buddy.
You take the first name off the back of the jersey. We're good
Frank
now.
Frank has stepped up. Oh, man, what do you think? It is, we're just kind of kidding about the weather, but it is much nicer out here today, yeah. And I would imagine, particularly for the people who are sitting up there in the stands who are not able to move around, catch a fan, or getting a little bit of shade, it's probably a lot easier to deal with today.
Yeah, it is, and they don't have the tent, the breeze like we've got right here. I think it's awesome, Mike, all these people come out. There's been so much. Look, I understand that every offseason, every team's got expectations and hope, and I get that. And I'm probably guilty as anybody of being over the top, probably on an annual basis about this team. But I do think there's a palpable buzz, man. I think they're better. I think they look more athletic. They look different to me. Mike, I've tried to ask myself, am I talking myself into that? Or do I really think so? But I kind of really think so.
I think we're all dealing with that because, you know, I was up in New York on Monday at the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, and everybody knows that I work to cover the Jaguars, and everyone's coming up to me going, oh my God, that Jaguar defense. Yeah. How good are they going to be? And I'm like, let's see, man. You know what I mean? Like we've been so enthusiastic and hopeful and all that for the last several years that I know less those things this time around. There are plenty of tangible reasons why you should be excited. At the same time, we got to see some wins now, right?
Yeah, you of course. But for what we can watch now, I do think Fowler and Ngakoue look different than Chris Smith than Ryan Davis did at that spot before, or Andre Branch or Chris Clements. I really do think that. Branch kind of looked the part, but the other ones, I do think Malik Jackson's a big old dude now. I do think Prince Amukamara looks the part. Tayshaun Gibson obviously looks the part. There's Ryan O'Halloran said it to me yesterday, and probably has to you as well. The defense is getting their hands on more balls than they did in the past. They seem to have that first step quickness that I'm not sure they had around here. So, yeah, the offense, the only possible criticism of the offense moving forward is that it's not a lot of guys that have done it for a long time. There's Larry Fitzgerald's not out here. Okay, there's not a lot of guys that have done it over the years. But other than that, there's not a whole lot not to like about the offense. You hope they get the line right. But it's been fun watching these defensive cats for sure.
Yeah, and it's difficult to figure out exactly what's going on with the offensive line now. I mean, they don't even have Kelvin Beachum available to them here during the offseason, who's supposed to compete at left tackle. And it feels like they want him to be the left tackle for this football team, and then trying to figure out what that left side of that offensive line is going to look like. I think there are some questions about that. I'm pretty confident in Brandon Linder at the center position and what they have on the right side, but for an offense that is trying to take that next step to being consistent, you know, and being able to dictate a football game to an opponent,
yeah,
I think it is interesting that they have all those questions in the front five coming into the year.
Yeah, I agree, Tony. Last time I sat in with you guys, Mike said, what's the biggest concern? Well, there's all that movement on the offensive front. They have a left tackle that might win the job is coming off a knee injury. They've got a left tackle who might move inside to be left guard. They got a guy that's perennially been a guard that hasn't played much NFL football because he's young moving to center. They've got a right guard who's a second-year player. There's so much movement, right, that you're not sure. I'm like you. I think it's going to be okay. I will say this, Mike. I really do think Luke Jokel, to me, I'm on that plane every week with him. I come out here like we all do. Looks bigger and thicker. I don't know if he looks stronger because nobody's hitting anybody. But as far as just looking bigger, looking broader, looking thicker, he's never looked thick. He's looked like a tight end. And he looks more like a big, thick lineman. And I saw, look, so he used to be listed at 304. Now he's listed at 315. So according, roster to roster, it's only 11 more pounds. But to me, he looks bigger.
That's the lightest 304, though. I mean,
he
didn't look 3. He looked like 285.
No question.
You know? So I got to see it. And like you said, even if you see it physically, you got to see how he holds up against, you know, real hitting. And I'm a skeptic in terms of him moving to guard. I am.
You're among many. I hear you. I'm in the minority of thinking he can do it. But I get that. He's never played like a guy that seems to be a guard. He's been angular. He's been light in the rear. He's never looked like a guard. I get that. But that's the question, right, is if they can get that figured out, I'm encouraged about the other stuff. The other thing is Miles Jack. Well, I wonder how they're going to use Miles Jack. He's been practicing at Mike. Well, I think their middle linebacker is one of their best players. So you bring in one of your best draftees, and he's playing behind one of your best players. I'm interested to see how that thing plays.
Well, you know, and two, I think they don't know how they're going to use him yet. And he's a versatile piece, and they'll look for ways to get him on the field. I think Paul Posluszny clearly is a first and second down middle linebacker for this football team. I can't imagine that he's not, or else you're not making the best use of your personnel. The question is, does Miles Jack play with Telvin Smith in the nickel? Does he play with Posluszny in the nickel, as Ryan O'Halloran has suggested? I think he's got to play in the nickel because of his coverage ability. And does he have, you know, will he be able to pick up and play the auto position and give you what you want? I think ultimately, guys, a year from now, we're talking about Miles Jack taking over for Paul Posluszny as your long-term middle linebacker of the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question about that. I think moving forward, they want him to be their middle linebacker. My question is now, and you're right too, Mike, I get caught up in when the game starts. Well, according to what they tell us, 65% of the time they're at least in nickel anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be on the field then. I'm watching the auto. Dan Scuda was out yesterday for a while. And Ryan Davis is the number two auto, which makes him the number one auto, with Scuda out. And I'm thinking, okay, here's a guy that's been a Leo, has been really a nickel tackle for the time here. All of a sudden he's a stand-up linebacker, and he's number two on the depth chart. Got to believe at some point Miles Jack gets a look there. I know they want to teach him one thing at a time because he's new to the league and hasn't been here, but I've got to believe at some point he's got to get looked because, well, if you play a team that's going to run the ball a lot and you're in base more than you expect, I've got to believe you need him on the field.
And I think when you talk about all the changes this Jaguars team has made over the offseason, a lot of them obviously on the defensive side, I've said for the last week, you know, Cindric Marks is back and he's out there practicing finally for the first time with his team, but he's coming back to a different world than he left. You know, they have Malik Jackson, they draft Sheldon Day. It's a different world at that three technique. And for Paul Posluszny, this is the first time in his career he's in a position where a team has drafted the guy that is going to replace him. He hasn't been in that spot before, and I think he'll handle it fine. I got no concerns about that with him, but he's never been in that spot before in his career.
You're right. Back to the first thing you said about the three technique. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. They might keep four three techniques. I mean, I really think they're going to – I think they might keep Michael Bennett and Day they're going to keep. They just drafted him. And Malik's the three technique. And but you know what? It's Cindric Marks. But you know what? The one thing we've learned about football – get a bunch of defensive guys. Don't worry about having too many of those guys.
No.
Offensive line's different. You're going to play five guys. Quarterback, you're going to play one guy. Okay? There's not as many guys. Defensive guys, get a bunch of them. You'll find a way to get them out.
Well, they seem to have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
whether
it's three techniques or other positions on that line, at least the ones you're excited about, not necessarily proven in terms of pass rush, but in terms of potential and how you see them fitting. Like you said, you know, you've had guys, you know, Ryan Davis is an effective guy moving inside on third down at times to rush because he's a quick guy. But if you can have bigger quick guys,
right,
and you can pair Cindric Marks with Malik Jackson, how much better off might you be?
Well, that's right. And you're right. If that's a good point. Quick guys are good.
Big quick guys are the best.
That's exactly right. So, but I think they've got a lot of that, Mike. I think they've we got to see how they all work together. But they're almost like a baseball team that goes and signs a bunch of free agents that can hit. Well, where do you bat them? They don't worry about where you bat them. If the guy hitting seventh hits 30 home runs, that's okay.
He's still going to get his ABs.
That's right. And I think that's the way it's going. Look, I'm excited about where they are. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. I think the fan base is. You know, we're chomping at the bit to start this thing.
Yeah.
You hope the offense doesn't go backwards. Again, I will say, first thing I said when I sat down, there is a reality that all the key offensive guys, or many of the key offensive guys, are really still kind of new to the league. This is still Blake Bortles, only his third year, and Allen Hurns, and Allen Robinson, and Rashad Green's second year, and Marquise Lee's year and a half, whatever, right? So, I mean, T.J. Yeldon's second year. So it's still a lot of guys kind of new to all this, right? But if they continue to grow, it could be really fun.
And it's why it's crucial that they add something to the offense, and that would be getting the running game off the ground, which is not something they ever really did effectively last year, to help those young guys they have on offense that excelled last year make it a little bit easier for them in this season.
Mike, with all your fantasy stuff and all your Jaguar stuff, do you still watch the Jets closely at all? Do you watch?
Oh, I keep up. I don't watch their games necessarily because I'm here, but you know, I'm watching Jaguar football.
Well, before this, I watched the Steelers really close. I knew their depth chart. I knew their personnel. I read all the stories. Well, since I've started doing this, there's not enough bandwidth to watch him as close. But I follow him, just not as close. Well, Chris, the reason I asked you the question, Chris Ivory, I know you can't really evaluate running backs till people are hitting. I get that. Man, he looks the part to me, man. He's physical. He's got a burst. You know, he's the guy I can't wait to see him put pads on for. That's the guy I want to see the pads on.
Well, that's where he excels, you know. And, look, again, he doesn't need to be the answer at running back. They've got two guys who I think have different strengths to some degree. If they could both end up around 180 to 220 carries, average about 200 apiece, that'd be ideal for this football team. You know, let maybe Yeldon work a little earlier on early downs and have Chris Ivory be your fourth quarter closer. And, you know, who wants to tackle a guy who runs like that in the fourth quarter?
That's the perfect world.
Nobody wants to tackle
You get a lead, and your four-minute offense is handing it to number 33. That's the perfect world.
We've talked with you about this before. Usually this time of year, you're going into year three of now the voice of the team, and you talked last year about how much you felt you learned in your first year. You feel like you're really settled in now? What are you looking forward to in year number three?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Year two, way better than year one. Year two, two things. Number one, I thought the broadcasts were way better. I thought the play-by-play calls were way better. Went back and listened to the first year. I said, okay, I want to do better than that. Second year, I was pleased with them. But I also learned the mechanics of it, Mike. We spent a lot of time, and I thank Dan Edwards and Joe Fortunato and the folks. You guys saw us in there a lot Tuesdays. I said, let's go back and listen to our tape. Let's go back and listen to everything. The football team does it, right? Well, go back and say, let's do this better. Let's do that better. I think knowing the lay of the land, Jeff, Tony, and I now have been together for 32 games, plus 40 games if you count the preseason. I think we have chemistry in the booth better. So I think I know a lot more than I did then. We know how to rehearse, if you will. We know how to kind of self-scout, if you will. So it's a whole different world. I can't wait to start this year. I go into this year much more comfortable. I thought you'd go into year two more comfortable. I think year two, you just said, okay, year one,
I survived.
I survived and got an, that's right, and got an idea of how to do it. Now year two, let's try and execute how to do it. And I think we kind of did that year two. I hope we did. I like to think we did. And I can't wait to start year three.
Well, as far as I recall, you've never called games for a Super Bowl champion before. So
that's where it's different.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Houston this year.
You know, we will be. I'm looking forward. Absolutely. I've never ended the play-by-play run in February. Okay, February is a good time to stop.
There you go. That's when the NFL quits. Why don't we go till then, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Frank Frangie, the Frangie Show. Get it straight.
Yeah.
Afternoons with a host of folks, Brent Martin, O'Brady Ackerman, Amanda Borges, Big Country. I'm sure I'm missing seven or eight.
Yeah, you know, you got the first 30, 40%.
I got the key ones in there, Frank. Good to see you as always.
Boys. Thanks for having
me. For stopping by. The voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Frank Frangie, here with you on the home of the Jaguars, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Coming back, we've got This Date in Football. We've got the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll hear from some of the participants from the Jags who spoke after practice yesterday. Keep in mind, Miles Jack scheduled to join us towards the end of the program live today, coming off the practice field, much like Telvin Smith joined Tony yesterday. With Tony Smith, I am Mike Dempsey. We're live out of Jaguar minicamp on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, This Date in Football history presented all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, as often the case this time of year, just some significant birthdays, but one of our favorites here on this program. In fact, was a part of my program for a while before passing away recently. Pat Summerall, one of the great broadcasters of all time, born of this date in 1930.
Oh, no.
Summerall is just one of the great voices, I think, in sports. I've gotten to know his son, Kyle, pretty well. I consider him a friend. He's a great guy. Works over at Spectrum Films, one of my business partners. I got to know Pat pretty well in the final years of his life as well. And he was always so gracious to me. Will always be remembered for his pairing, primarily, I think, with John Madden, but was a trendsetter in the business for a long, long time.
No doubt.
Born in this date in 1930. Also born in this date. And, look, he's accomplished in his own right, even though we tend to consider him a bit of the butt of the joke these days. Chris Berman, if you came up when I did, Tony, in my age group, and you hit college in the mid-'80s, right, and Chris Berman was throwing out, Jose, let me take you on a sea cruise, you thought, this is the most brilliant analysis I have ever heard on a breakdown. You had Vitale, and you had Berman. It was all bluster and bombast.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, you know, growing up, falling in love with the NFL. You know, NFL primetime on Sunday night was must-view television. And that was back in the day, too, where you got whatever two games you got regional, right? Like, you got the Jaguars game and maybe a 4 o'clock game, and that's the only football you were going to see. You were getting updated with I was a Giants fan, so I would get an update every 20 minutes on the bottom line of what the Giants' score was for that day. You got to see no highlights. So that night, NFL primetime, you had to watch with Berman and Tom Jackson on that thing and all the, as you said, bombast of Chris Berman. It was kind of the voice of the NFL when I was growing into it a little bit. And it, I don't know when it started annoying me, but at some point it did, and I'm way passed over it.
It's like it never evolved, and it always was what it probably always was, and you just maybe appreciated it more or didn't look any deeper into it when you were a little bit younger. But Chris Berman, born in the state.
Just keep him off golf.
In 1955. The State in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you need a family dentist, maybe you're new in town, maybe you need some cosmetic work done, they've got such great remedies, custom-fit mouth guards to help you stop snoring, or maybe help a loved one stop snoring. Save your marriage. Call 620-9225. Dr. McCall is a certified Invisalign provider as well. Visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Carolina Panthers and Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kawan Short have reportedly begun negotiations on a long-term deal that is expected to make him land among the five highest paid at his position in the entire National Football League. Dave Gettleman, the Panthers GM, has made it clear since before the offseason that signing Short to a long-term deal was a priority for the team despite the franchise tag that was used and later rescinded on cornerback Josh Norman. So negotiated starting there. 2015 first-round pick Melvin Gordon, who is coming off a disappointing rookie campaign, had surgery on his knee in January. It was reported yesterday that the surgery Gordon had was actually a microfracture procedure where doctors drill holes in the bones to help promote healing, hopefully, and it's still a scary word around the NFL. Gordon was back on the field working with his teammates yesterday, acknowledged that he's not 100% back yet. Of course, microfracture, a word we've been hearing tossed around in Jacksonville the last several months with Miles Jack. There have been players, obviously, that come back and are fine coming off that kind of surgery. I know Reggie Bush is a guy that a lot of people point to, came back and had maybe the best year of his career after microfracture surgery. So the medical community is catching up a little bit with some of these injuries, but it's still a scary one. No one knew that's how the Gordon surgery was going to be classified until yesterday, which is surprising.
Right.
That it still can be kept under wraps for basically 4 months.
Well, you know, and why shouldn't it be, right? It's a medical procedure.
Sure.
That shouldn't be getting out unless they want it to get out.
You just don't expect it. It's like the combine drug test results. We're never supposed to know.
Right.
Like, officially,
we always do.
The public is never supposed to know the results of those tests, but we always find out.
You know, in the case of Melvin Gordon, by the way, he won the unofficial poll at Radio Row this year as the most yoked guy in the building. Are you kidding me? Did you see Melvin Gordon this year?
No.
Oh, my goodness, Tony. Greg Jones is like, damn, Melvin Gordon's in good shape. All right, trust me. Melvin Gordon has been hitting the weight room, this guy. I hope he's Mr. Au Naturel, because he about broke my hand when he shook it on Radio Row this year. But, man, I mean, I don't know if that's what's to blame for his terrible rookie season. I mean, horrible. Didn't score a touchdown, averaged like 3.6 yards per carry. And I was reading a story today about that surgery. It might have been a quote from Dr. James Andrews in it, saying, not specifically about this one, but about microfracture in general, it's not the microfracture, it's the size of the defect that you have to repair with the microfracture. That if it's a small, concentrated area, they have actually pretty good success rate with those kind of things. If it's a larger area where you're trying to basically regrow big patch of new cartilage, for, you know, or some kind of buffer in there to act as like your cartilage, not as successful.
Sure, and I think it's kind of weird the way that kind of stuff evolves, right? Because again, we were talking about Chris Berman and, you know, my childhood watching NFL growing up a little bit, which I know a lot of listeners are out there going, damn, he's young. Like, just me talking about that, right, with Chris Berman and having grown up with it that way. But I can remember, too, you know, at that age when I was learning to love the NFL, that when you heard the term ACL, that was it. You know, there were guys that was their career at some point in time when an ACL was mentioned as the injury with these guys. And now it's almost like you have an ACL and you can be fine, you know, and there are guys that are going to be playing six, 8 months later and they're going to be the same guy that they were before that injury. And it felt like there was a time when if you heard ACL, like you were praying when someone had a knee injury that it was just the PCL or just the MCL. Because if they put that A on it, he's done. He'll never be the same guy again. And the Achilles was kind of the same thing for a while. It feels like the medical community is caught up with some of these injuries, and hopefully microfracture is the next one they
do. Well, hopefully. I don't know because it's not nearly as common as the ACL. They've almost perfected it, it seems like. Look, you can have an ACL that's shredded beyond recognition, and I'm sure. But for the common clean tears of ACLs, now you pretty much expect that guy within two seasons to be back to close to 100% of what he was.
It's still not quite like Tommy John surgery in baseball now, where you can almost feel franchises rejoice when their pitcher gets that first Tommy John. They're like, yay, we're going to rebuild his elbow even better
than
before.
Right, they come back better. Like, there was that little wave of, like, 3 or 4 years ago. There it was more a speculative thing. Will young players opt to have it before they need it?
It's not that. The ACL is still a very serious injury that you don't want any of your guys to have to deal with. But it certainly is not a death sentence like it was at one point.
Let's bring the guru back in here. Dave, we were just talking a moment ago. Pat Summerall, born on this date in 1930. Tom Brookshire was his longtime friend and broadcast partner. Guys of my era really remember him more strictly with Madden. It wasn't that much. I mean, it was during my lifetime that he and Brookshire worked together. I'm sure you remember them broadcasting games together. In terms of chemistry, and certainly he had great chemistry with Madden. I thought what one of Summerall's great gifts was knowing when to shut up, something I have not mastered yet. How good was the chemistry of that Brookshire-Summerall team?
The chemistry was great, and one reason it was great is they were like best friends. First of all, I've known Pat a long time. You know, he's from Lake City. We used to do a little Lake City-Jacksonville golf match. You know, Pat was always very kind to me. He was 15 years older, but at events he introduced me to the right people. He would invite me out to dinner with the big wheels when I was still, you know, a young pup reporter. So anyway, I have great respect for Pat. But he and Brookshire, the chemistry worked because they were great friends. And I mean this in the kindest way. It would be hard to find two guys who lived a wilder, crazier life. I would say that they got drunk probably 4 or 5 nights a week. They were rebel rousers. They loved a good time. They were the ones that got on top of tables, not Pat so much as Brookshire, you know, and the restaurants and the bars. And so they loved each other off the field. They were constantly together, and that chemistry showed when they were on the air.
And, you know, for Pat Summerall got sober, cleaned up his life, you know, in the latter stages of his life, had some tremendous health issues that he was able to overcome.
Liver transplant
right here in Jacksonville, right? It was at the Mayo, right on Belfort, as a matter of fact, is where it took place, I believe.
For years, I would cover an NFL game, and Summerall and I would meet at the Atlanta airport and take, like, it was like a 11:15 flight from Atlanta to Jacksonville on Sunday. And, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 times during the course of a season, we would wind up meeting in the Atlanta airport at 9:30 or so. We'd go in and have a few scotches, and then we would get on the plane and we'd fly back. So, you know, I got to know him even better during that course of that. And great guy. He did have that liver transplant. Last part of his life, really turned around, moved to Dallas.
Yep.
After living on the right off the 10th green at Marsh Landing here in Jacksonville here in Ponte Vedra. For a long time.
All right. He is the guru, David Lamb. We're going to stick around, talk a little Jags with us. We'll turn our eye towards the Players' Championship as well coming up, which will tee off in just a couple of days. We'll be hip deep into the first round by this time on Thursday morning. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey here at the Media Center in Sawgrass. And a reminder, our question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this: who is your favorite current NFL studio analyst on television, not the game broadcasters, the guys that sit at the desk and break down the X's and O's for you, break down the latest news from around the league, break down the draft, whatever the case may be. Share with us some of your favorites on Twitter and on Facebook. We'll also check in on the text line driven by Duval Ford when we come back in a moment. Live at Sawgrass on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along at the Players. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, David Lamb here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Listen to that Scott Lagasse commercial. Took me back to my days following in the footsteps of Joe Coward as the short-term voice of the St. Augustine Speedway. I thought Saturday nights, Tony, you got paid what you got paid, but if it got rained out, you got paid half. So we'd all pray for rain. We'd be like, yeah, half money for nothing. And Lagasse, would, when he was like 15, would he raced, I think, in the sportsman class, and he had a car, you know, he was on the path, you know, to being a professional driver, Dave, and so his equipment was so much better than everybody. You know, Johnny Lugnuts over here was putting his together in the front yard up on blocks, and Lagasse would come with his rolling off a trailer looking, you know, spit shine. And by about five laps in, he was usually up by about two or three laps already. And so it was always the funny thing with guys like him. And there's another guy, Todd Ponce, who did the same thing in his class, just absolutely dominated. And they'd come up with creative ways to throw a black flag on them so they'd have to start back at the back of the pack, and it wouldn't matter anyway. Just to avoid the big one.
Small track dirt racing in those days was absolutely a ball to watch, though.
Yeah, they were paved at the time at St. Augustine. They were dirt, I think, back in the day. But I mean, just the small. It's such a different life, you know. It's such a different thing. These guys, they don't make much money doing it at all. If they make anything, a lot of them will lose money.
Oh, sure they do. The cost of the equipment
right. Is
more than they can possibly win.
So it was fun, though. It was fun. That was one of my big paydays in the late 90s was the rainouts at the St. Augustine Speedway.
A quick story about short track racing. They were having so much trouble at the Jacksonville Raceway with fights and everything else that the steward who runs the track called a meeting of car of racers and car owners and mechanics and whatever out, and I went out. And he got all these guys up in the stands, and the steward's down in the stands, and he starts off, this is how he starts off trying to get rid of the violence, the fighting. He says, okay, guys, we've had all this fighting, and I'm tired of it. It's bad public relations. And the next guy that I see having a fight, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to kick his ass. And he said, and if anybody here disagrees with this, come on down, and I'll kick your ass right now. And I'm thinking, this is the meeting to stop the violence.
Right.
And in the first 90 seconds, he's twice threatened to beat him up.
It's our version of stop the violence.
I went, okay, wow.
If you really wanted to know, all you need to know about, and we will move along after that, on Saturday nights, probably the one event every year that got the crowd most into it was the burnout competition, where all these guys did, and this is where people would just register their trucks, and they would bring their pickups down on a pit road, and they'd wet pit road down, and they'd just burn their tires. And I would stand there with a wireless mic in the midst of all this toxic rubber burning and have to, I don't know, do play-by-play to this, Dave. This is small-town radio in the South back in the late 90s.
So. How you're alive now is remarkable.
I don't know.
All that stuff you sucked into your body could have killed you by that.
All right. Got nice photos. See this photo, Tony?
Yeah.
Somebody got their custom plates. They threw this up on the text line driven by Duval Ford. It's a North Carolina plate, says number one Jags FN, number one Jags fan. That's pretty cool. Only one person can have that, and he just got his plates. And here's some of the responses we've gotten on the text line this morning in terms of studio analysts that people like listening to. Herm Edwards, always learn something new from Herm. I think Herm's sometimes a little theatrical, a little over the top, but I think if you meet him in person, which we have, Tony,
yeah,
I can't help but feel his enthusiasm is genuine. You know what I mean? I really do. He exudes that. He really is kind of what you see is what you get. He's just a guy who loves the game, loves the principles he believes it teaches you and all these different things. So,
oh, there's no faking it. And it makes it a little more enjoyable to see him on TV, having met him and, you know, talk to him off mic a little bit, and you get to know him a little, and you're like, oh, this is just who this guy is. He also a couple years ago at the Super Bowl, we talked to him on Radio Row. He had one of the guys going around with a military vet.
Yes.
Who had been in combat, I think in World War II. I think it was a pilot from World War II.
Old, yeah. They're going around the old dudes.
Yeah, and he photobombed me. While I was taking a picture with the pilot, Herm Edwards is in the background, like, looking at the camera like crazy, man.
This is kind of cool.
It's sort of like Gus Bradley. People ask me all the time. I mean, he is genuinely that happy and that nice every time I've ever seen him, no matter what the setting is. That's real.
You know, I'm telling you, Dave, he came in once. He was in the hallway. Duval Doom, who's a buddy of ours and has been a four-time co-host on this show, from the cheap seats, he will come in and give us the fans' point of view. So he was sitting in, it was probably the first time he ever came down to the stadium. So we're like, well, let's walk you through some of the back halls and give you a little insider look at what's going on. And we're walking down the hall, and here comes Gus, right? And Gus just, hey, can you say hi to Johnny here? He's a big fan of the team, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, he must have talked to him for 15, 20 minutes. Just stopped in the hall. It had this story about, you know, oh, I was just telling a story to the guy, to the team, about we had this candle and a box. And remember the candle and the box story?
I
don't even remember all the pieces to it, but how do you get the candle to not drip on the floor and go into the box? And he's, it's about problem solving, man. You got to solve problems. You can just see Gus. All it took was an audience to focus his attention on, and he wants to know as much about you as he can tell you about his football team.
That's the excellent point. He's interested in you. And most of these, a lot of celebrities aren't. They could care less.
We heard Miles Jack a little bit early today say, hey, I really wanted to land in Jacksonville. It starts with a head guy. I really felt a connection to Gus Bradley. Gus, please win some games, because I really think not that they've done poorly in free agency, particularly this year, I think, but this guy can be a closer. You know, you look at what they've built in terms of their facility here, the way they take care of the players. Look at that locker room, man. It's like the nicest nightclub you'll ever walk into,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The fan enthusiasm is there. The amenities in the stadium are continuing to progress. You got the feeling that the organization knows what it's doing. So you go out this year and you win 9 or 10 games and watch them start to line up next year. This will be destination central, not only because they have money, but because, you know, you look for a handful of factors, right? Who's going to pay me? Well, the Jags aren't shy now. They got the money. And they,
right.
You look at Malik Jackson. They paid him. Where do I have a chance to win? I think, again, in that scenario, they take a leap to, say, 9
right.
or 10 this year. You're going to feel that. No state income tax, right? Quality of life. Now, to some people, that means having access to clubs that are open till 4 in the morning. Okay, you're not going to find that kind of thing.
But if you're a family man.
If you're a family man, if you love the sunshine, if you love fishing, if you love the outdoors, if you love the good life, man, come on down, right? Play some golf and set some roots here, as we've talked about early this week. How many of the Jags from the late 90s that really put this team on the map have done just that
right.
and stuck around?
And the other thing is that the players love Gus. And you can't help but love Gus if you know him. I hope he wins, because it's so great working with the guy. And I don't work with him as much as you guys, but it's got to be fun.
He's phenomenal. I mean, he really...
Nice man.
You see him, and every time... I can't speak for Tony, but every time I see him and spend a few minutes with Gus, it's like you get a vitamin B12 shot. You know, you're just like... Oh, you're like, oh, now I remember why he's so great. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Every time I see him, he asks me about how my back is doing. I know your back keeps you from coming around as much as you'd like, you know, and hopefully it'll get better. So we can, I mean, you know, just rather than just going high.
Good dude. Oh, I got this one on the text line. OMG, defensive talent, Puzlesny or Puzlesky. Or
Puzlesky.
Telvin, Miller, Marks, Jackson, Gibson, Amukamara, Colvin, House, Day, Ramsey, Jack, Ngakoue, Fowler, Audric, Sip, Aluwalu, and Sample. That's all they had to say, just OMG, that we got all this. By the way, I was looking at that Raiders thing. I saw where they had Audric ranked on there. I'll see if I can dig that up. Amongst defensive linemen, this is like a handwritten list that the Raiders had. This is, we were mentioning this earlier, somebody found their 2010 draft binder, basically, which had their grades on different players, notes on different players.
Sure.
And they showed some of them, and they did have one page, and I don't know if I'm going to find it here. Of course, when I'm looking for it, it's not going to be right at my fingertips. But Audric fared pretty well, as I recall, on the list. Wasn't too far down.
I mean, he was a first-round draft pick of Miami. So he was obviously a highly thought-of guy coming into that 2010 draft. And that was the conversation we had last year. I look at what they got out of the free agent class last year. Audric gave me about what I expected Audric to give me. And from that left end spot, that big end spot for them to get 5 sacks, I think that's about the level that you can expect as far as production out of that spot. He's just not asked to rush the passer all that much. Audric's the guy that's coming off the field on pass rush situation downs. He's not a guy that's out there a whole lot on third down. So I thought that he gave him exactly what they wanted. And Roy Miller, it was unbelievable. If you go back and look at the numbers for Roy Miller last year, not just look at what they were able to do on first and second down, stopping the run, and I think a lot of that is attributable to Roy Miller, but the fact that he was a guy who could still go get 3.5-4 sacks from that spot, that is a hell of a season from him, and we'll see if he can continue that kind of production going forward, because they're certainly adding a boatload of talent and speed and anger on that side of the ball this year.
Well, listen, I agree that y'all are football experts, even though if you don't, and you just read off that list. Let me ask you something. One of the criticisms I have of Bradley as a coach, and I wrote about it on 1010XL.com recently, is that I get the sense that he has a system and he is trying to force. He's got to have a Leo and he's got to have an Otto and he's got to have this. I think he's trying to fit pieces, players into certain pieces more than putting the best players on the field. And I realize you can't have 11 safeties or 11 linebackers, but I would like to see him take the best football players he has, figure out how to have Ramsey and Jack, and Fowler all on the field at the same time. If you've got two guys that are look like they could really, really be great autos, well, then fine, play them and forget about the Leo or vice versa. Get the best players. I get the sense that he's trying to cram certain pieces in. And if Jackson and Marks are both really, really, really good football players, and I think they are, have them on the field together. Don't try to rotate them. Put them out there. Let them play. Get your best players on the field.
I think there will be times when they do play together, but I think it'll be more in pass rush situations because, again, Roy Miller is a good player. He does things differently and is asked to do different things than Cinderic Marks. So from that standpoint, I don't have an issue. But in the first couple of years, there's certainly some round peg, square hole type situations. But you look at the guys they drafted this year, the pass rushers they drafted. They're building a team. They're not taking over a team that had, middle of the pack talent. Now let's figure out how to use them. They took over a team where they wanted to wipe the slate clean over the period of a couple of years. They've basically done that now. And you look at the guys that they draft, like Ngakoue and Holmes, and you look at the measurable 6'3", 6'4", 255, they're all slotting into exactly the vision. Jalen Ramsey, that 6'1 corner. Anybody would have liked Jalen Ramsey, but they prefer the bigger, longer cornerbacks in this system. So they are now in the stage, I think, where they can go out and they specifically only target guys that they feel like have a fit already. So there isn't that, adjusting that needs to be made. But I agree with you. Over the first couple of years particularly, there probably should have been some more of that going on. Just play.
Sure.
Who you got.
And I think they got options this year that they haven't had to do that kind of thing. We've talked about it since the draft, or at least I have. I think there should be times this year where Jalen Ramsey is the second safety in the box. I think that there should be times this year where Gibson is a safety and Ramsey is a safety too, especially on third and long situations, instead of saying, well, we got to have a strong safety, so Sampler, Cyprian have to be on the field. Why? Why can't those two guys
put a better cover guy out there?
Patrol the middle of the field. Ramsey is certainly physical enough. That's one of the things they liked about him. He is a physical guy when it comes to tackling. So put him out there, put him in that kind of position, and put your defense in a position where it's as athletic as it can be on these downs where you were getting killed with Cyprian on the field last year on third and long. I mean, destroyed with him on the field, where he would just not fit that hole, not get to the guy that he was supposed to be responsible for, where now you have options to get him off the field.
As long as
they don't allow guys like Phillip Rivers to run for third and long again.
Holy cow.
Tony, all right, because you got to have a little bit more up front.
May have been the worst player of the year. Phillip Rivers ran.
May have been.
That's one of the few plays that's in my brain, I can't get it out about that defense.
There are about six completions on third down that Atlanta made, too. I'm just like, oh, come on.
I just remember Phillip Rivers just sort of plodding along, and I'm going, somebody will get him. If you get near him, he'll fall down.
Somebody will get him.
You don't even have to tackle him.
But
he'll fall down.
He's still going. He's still going. No, but you're right, Tony. Look, you can throw House and Mukamara Colvin when he's back from the suspension out there as your three corners in nickel, and you throw Ramsey in as one of the safeties. You got four corners. You probably have your five best
Ramsey
cover guys on the field.
And you
can
put
scenario.
Jack and Telvin Smith out there as your linebackers. I mean, you have a lot of speed on the field that they didn't have. Last year, they just didn't have it on that side of the football, and that's really what's being added to this defense on the back end. They are so much faster and more athletic than they were in 2015. We'll have to see how long it takes for all that to meld together. It shouldn't take as long on defense as it took on offense, which was basically a full year and an off season for all that to come together. It shouldn't take that long on that side of the football, but it's going to take some kind of time. I'm curious to see what kind of time it actually is.
All right, wrapping up things for this segment here. We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Automobile Dealerships, asking you, who is your current favorite
studio analyst among NFL talking heads on television with the big shakeups going on at ESPN. Trent Dilfer, Ray Lewis, Chris Carter are out. Randy Moss and Matt Hasselbeck, among others, will be coming in. Sean McDonough taking over the play-by-play duties on Monday Night Football. But we're talking about the studio guys, the guys that sit on those panels at halftime and pregame shows and break it down and all throughout the week. Who's your favorite? Who's your go-to guy for knowledge and entertainment right now? We'll take a look at some of the results when we return in a moment. Jaguars Today live at the Players on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, coming down the home stretch here, day one for us out at TPC Sawgrass. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Even when we're on remote, you can always get in at 641-1010 if you don't want to call. The text line driven by Duval Ford is always open, and we get a lot of feedback there. Today, Tony, we're looking for feedback on Twitter and Facebook about who people's current favorite studio analyst is when it comes to the National Football League. What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Jason. He said, no question, it's Brian Baldinger. His passion and knowledge of the game added to the finger makes him number one. What is the finger?
I don't know what the finger is. I know Torrey Holt's finger.
Yeah. I know Munoz's finger.
Hold on now. Yeah, Munoz got one of those funky fingers.
He calls it the goalpost.
Some funky fingers.
Yeah.
If I put in Brian Baldinger, the finger, what comes up?
Let's see what we get.
Let's see what we get here on Google.
Bryce Harper did a finger. So
okay, yeah, he's got a pinky. He's got a 90
he's
degree.
He's got the bad pinky.
He's got a 90 degreer right there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's doing like hang loose permanently all the time. All right,
very nice. Cristiano, our Brazilian listener, says I'm going with the Brazilian guy, Paulo Antunes. I'm not sure. He says, hashtag patriotic tweet. I have no idea who that is. From Do All Doom, not sure if he counts, but I really enjoy Brandon Marshall on Inside the NFL.
I do, too. Get it. Brandon Marshall's had his difficulties in life. He's tried to, I think, face them pretty head on. He's had, you know, mental health issues. He's had all kinds of issues. But he speaks his mind like few others, I find, in today's media just doesn't care what the repercussions are, and
sure.
I appreciate that.
From Brian, we got hands down, it's Charles Davis, who comes on with us time to time to talk draft. Tons of knowledge and easy to listen to. I agree on all counts, Brian. From Black Dog, Tom Florio, his takes are like he has no favorites. He's not shy about giving props to the Jags.
Who did he say?
He said Florio.
Oh, Florio.
Tom Florio. I don't know who Tom Florio is.
I'm guessing he means Mike Florio, or maybe he's trolling us.
I have no idea.
It could be that, too, because the Jag fans we find always love them some Mike Florio.
From Irish Jaguar, Daniel Jeremiah, probably. From Isaiah, it's Colleen Wolf. From Joey, Bradshaw is my favorite in studio, but I love Kevin Harlan. He makes every play more dramatic. And from Jag fan Mojo, finally some Jaguars love on NFL Network.
Now, did you not catch one from Meta World Crazy? You gave a vote to J.P. Shadrick. I thought we should shout out J.P. Shadrick.
I didn't see that.
Now, is J.P. really a studio analyst? I don't know. He does fill in on the news, does sports on TV from time to time. Honestly, J.P., if you saw how much work he puts into putting it on all those programs on Jaguar Radio, JP is an unsung guy in that field. I'm not kidding you. I have a lot of respect for JP Shattuck. He is a worker, and I respect guys that come prepared. He is detail-oriented. I'm not kidding. This is not a setup for something funny. JP is a good dude, and I respect what he does. Chaps, by the way, said not a former Jaguar quarterback who cries about Tom Brady. I think we can all figure out who that is. By the way, I think I'm a little saddened by this. Saddened and gladdened at the same time.
Oh.
Chaps is coming to town.
Yes.
And he may have reached out to me and said, what are your thoughts about maybe involving me in a broadcast, you know, for a segment, or maybe even have me come down to the stadium? And I do believe his arrival is going to coincide with my vacation in the month of June. I do think that's the case. I'm too lazy to have actually figure out if that's the case or not, but I have a general feeling that it is, Tony.
Right.
So not to put you on the spot, but it'll be up to you. So perhaps we'll get some Uncle Chaps radio on Jaguars.
Reach on out, Chaps.
I'll put it this way: if the Jaguar fans who follow us on social media want Uncle Chaps to be a part of this program, let us know.
It'll just be an entire day full of false headlines.
Yeah, oh, it'd be great, right? We'll break all kinds of fake news all day long.
We'll discuss it like it's real. We'll really troll everybody
yes.
for an entire day.
We'll tweet at, you know, at Pro Football Talk, Uncle Chaps is reporting, and on and on and on. So if you'd like Uncle Chaps to come in and sit in for a show, probably Doom doesn't, because Doom's thinking, I'm right now I got a 4-0 lead over most of the Jaguar fan base in co-hosting mm-hmm. Jaguars today. He doesn't want anybody even getting within three of him. But outside of Doom, I think we're probably pretty good. Here's a few on Facebook. The Professor John Clayton, the commercial with him in his room jamming to 80s hair bands, trips me out, haha. I wouldn't consider Clayton a studio analyst anymore.
Not really.
He's kind of just a guy who pops in with some news from around
the league.
He's
a reporter.
Yeah. A reporter, right. Yeah. That's what they call those yeah. guys, Dave.
I like, what about Lewis Riddick?
Lewis Riddick. He got mentioned.
When I'm walking by or just not paying really attention, and if I see Lewis Riddick, I will stop to hear what he says, because he seems to be very candid and very knowledgeable.
Now, I agree with that. Derek said, Herm Edwards, don't hit send. that's good advice from Herm.
Why do you play the game?
Hashtag, you play to win the game. Hashtag Jags fan in Texas. Thanks for listening to the show, Derek, or at least following along on social media. Marshall went, my. John Clayton in season, Mike Mayock postseason. Both on TV, and then he also mentioned Pete Prisco and me. I'm not on TV,
hey, nice.
Except to do fantasy with Tony.
An expert.
Then he added, Mike. You know Terrence's ways, Dave?
Yes.
He calls up, and he thinks he's going to slay you by saying your name.
I came on the radio. We started Sports Talk Uncle Radio Dave. In 1991.
Yes.
Terrence probably was the third caller.
Are you serious? Going that far back?
Terrence has been around as long as...
Let me guess, Southside Mike... may have been one of the first two.
Yeah, those are two of the early ones.
They were definitely.
Well, David.
David. Devin went with anytime Loggeman or Baselli are talking, those two yelling at each other and calling each other idiot. That is must listen duo. That's a must listen duo.
Loggeman's very good.
I agree. You watch Jeff, you know, diagram plays, breakdown. Stuff on the Monday Night Show, I think he is very good. I think those guys really know a bunch of what they're talking about, and it's a good balance because you got the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. More votes for Mike Mayock. More votes for John Clayton, Chris Mortensen, Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison's another one. He sometimes rubs me the wrong way, but he's another tell-it-like-he-sees-it kind
yes,
of guy
he is.
On NBC Sports.
That whole, like, the NBC Sports Sunday night is just a mess. It's just way too many voices, way too many faces. It doesn't feel like it has any flow at all getting ready for the Sunday night game. And it's kind of like, it's weird because, like I said, I remember when you had to watch primetime to catch up on what happened on the day. Now it's unnecessary. Showing highlights of the games that day, I feel like, okay, there's that highlight, that touchdown that I've seen 15 times
right.
today again. So it's more, I get the reason you're showing the highlights, but for me, I just want an analyst breaking down what happened during today's game instead of just showing me what happened during today's game.
Tom Jackson got a vote. Poor Tom Jackson. I feel like, you know, he gets overshadowed by all. He's just a straight man, just wants to talk football. How did I find myself between the blustering Berman and all these guys who think they're still in the National Football League?
Ditka,
right?
I'm not sure knows what room he's in.
Oh, Ditka, come on. And then finally, Tristan voted for Marcel Robinson from CW17.
Oh, so nice.
We like Marcel. Marcel's a good dude. I don't know if I've seen him breaking it down on TV.
So let me get this straight. Dempsey gets a vote. Marcel gets a vote. Tony nothing.
On what?
On this poll.
Oh yeah,
I
voted. No, I voted for you. You didn't. I forgot the hashtag.
I didn't get a vote.
I forgot the hashtag. I got a half vote. Someone threw me in at the end of a list of people. So, but Marcel's the big winner today from the Jacksonville scene. Dave likes Lewis Riddick. I don't know. There are a bunch of guys I like. I think more about the guys I dislike than the guys I like. So anyway, thanks to the Tom Bush family of dealerships. They present the fan feedback spotlight every day. Dave, thanks for hanging out, talking some Jaguar off season with us today.
Yeah, glad to. And of course, there's a golf tournament that's getting ready to start.
We'll get into that. Absolutely. Tomorrow we'll make our official picks on that. We'll do a little Jaguars Today pick'em contest. We always have such wonderful prize packs, you know, like a T-shirt, maybe two T-shirts, right? So it'll be something along those lines. But we'll have you predict the winner of the players and maybe the winning score, something along those lines as a tiebreaker. And so be prepared. Because those T-shirts, man, they're worth at least 275 apiece.
I've already picked my winner. I think it's actually, I don't know whether it's been posted on 1010XL.com or not, but I will be prepared tomorrow.
You want to break it now? Do you want to?
No, all right, save it. Do it tomorrow. But
save it.
It's a lock.
Lock.
Bet the ranch. Bet the
lock it up
money.
On David Lingworth, the ladies and gentlemen. That's me speaking. I don't know what Dave's going to say. All right, Dave, thanks, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, Ben.
Take care. David Lamb, the guru here with us on Jaguars today. For Jordan DeArmond, back at the studio. For Tyler Devitt, I think he's coming back tomorrow. Does he still have a job?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure about that. But he will be back in town tomorrow to find out if he is still employed at 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Thanks to Joe Fortunato for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping up here live at the Media Center at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. We'll say hello to the boys of Midday Chalk next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.